thank everybody for coming back for part two on October the 1st. And we are looking at the last day events aspects of this study. We have been talking about the events as they're transpiring. We talk a little bit of a background, if you have. We've been looking at the seals. The first seal is the white horse in chapter 6, and we were referring that to the New World Order. And then the second seal is the red horse, where it's full of blood, and we were relating that to the world, I mean, not the world wars, but the Desert Storm Wars, these wars that we've been having. And then we've been talking about the third seal, and the third seal talks about three measures of barley for pennies, and three measures of barley for a penny, and a penny represented a day's labor of work, and hurt not the oil and the wine. And that would represent a worldwide depression worse than 1929. And so what we are in today, we're finding ourselves in the depression of the last days. Many people are in denial that it's a depression. Everyone keeps calling it a recession, and hopefully we can come out of it. But as we've been able to see just recently, the numbers in unemployment has dropped again, and people are saying, yes, we're back in to where we were. So we're really not pulling out. And it's not just happening in America. Throughout Europe, I think Greece has been bankrupt twice. Rome, I mean, a lot of the countries around, European countries around the planet is in bankruptcy. The banks have failed. And so most people are in denial of what's going on. And so what we're trying to do is trying to track what the Bible says and what's actually going on around us. Because the Bible says for us to watch, pray, watch, and pray. So if we're not watching, we're missing everything. And we did not want to come up at the time of the falling of the plagues and not know that we needed to be hewed and squared for the building, that we didn't know. Because the last 21 events in the Bible are the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven vials, or what we call the seven plagues. So these, each one of these sets of seven, or three of them, and three times seven is 21. So when you come up to the falling of the plagues, which is the last seven, that means 14 events already transpired. And most of the world will not even know that any of these events occurred, because they have not been watching and praying and trying to understand what the Bible has been trying to tell us, what's going on at this moment, at these last scenes of Earth's history. And some of the things that we had read in Daniel chapter 7, it had brought back, let's turn there for just one moment. Let's turn to 7 for a moment, just so we can recap as we go into chapter 8. In Daniel chapter 7, we were looking at a particular verse. I think it's verse number 7. And it says, after this, I saw the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. Okay? Now this particular, the Bible is telling us that this beast, it's devouring, it's breaking in pieces, and it's stamping the residue or whatever's left over under feet. And so we were trying to figure out who is this, what is this residue that he's devouring, breaking, and stamping in pieces. And so when we came down a few more verses, the Bible described and told us what it was and who it was and all of that. And when we read here in verse number 19, then I would know the truth of the fourth beast. So whoever's speaking, they can unmute, because otherwise you're feeding into the recording. Okay. Verse number 19, then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And so we have it here again. It's specifically telling us that this fourth beast is going to devour, break in pieces, and stamp the residue under his feet. And it lets us know that the residue is the whole earth. In verse number 23, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. So the residue is what's left over. So what we're finding out is who is destroying the earth. And what we're finding out is that the Western powers are destroying it by their manufacturing, by their steel mills, by all of these different things that we are making unsustainable. And so people are getting sick and their health is failing because of what's in the food, what's in the air, what's in the water. And so now that's why people are trying to go to green technology, technology that's not destroying the earth. They're putting an ozone, the hole over the ozone, we were told, is as big as the United States, and it's growing because we have not come to a sense, to our senses, to realize that some of the things that we're doing has to stop so that we can rethink of what's going on. And so the Bible lets us know this fourth beast, which is this Western power, which is going around the world, and everybody wants to, you know, be part of this. That's part of the European mindset that we're dealing with. And so the few questions that were being asked was, when we read the next verse, when we read verse number 25, it says that he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hands for a time and times and the dividing of times. And so here we were looking also, realizing that the beast power will try to kill off the Creator's people, Yahweh's people. As they do that, it also makes mention here that they're going to wear out the saints of the Most High, and he's going to think to change times and laws. And so when we look at today, I guess this Monday is supposed to be a holiday. Is that correct? Columbus Day, I think somebody was saying.
No, that's next Monday, not this Monday coming up.
Next Monday, okay.
Columbus is the 10th.
Okay. Now, so that's what we call a holiday. Now, and if you look at the word holiday, it's spelled H-O-L-I-D-A-Y, which is holiday. But in English, when you have two words that you put together, if there was a Y there, you place it with an I. So if you separate that I and put a Y there and separate the words, it's really holy day. So what we call holidays are really holy days. It's just how you pronounce it. Now, most people didn't know that. But that's the new calendar. We've been set up a holy day calendar and a calendar by the Roman calendar. That's what it's called, the Roman Catholic Church calendar, and it has all these different holy days and holidays in it that we follow. And that calendar is different. It sets up a different time and a schedule for everybody to follow. The same thing when you look at the calendar that was given in the Old Testament, it has a calendar, and its calendar is different, and it had different holy days or holidays. And so there's we have as an example, as a counterfeit of what we had before. And so people, as we try to figure out what's going on, that will make things much easier for us to realize that, hey, we're set up in a system that is designed to teach us a different ways that are different than what's laid out in the Bible. Now, as we read on, we're going to find out that as it tramples underfoot, as it pollutes the air, and as the Western powers do all these different things, there's another goal. And the other goal, now we can get to chapter 8. And in chapter 8, it brings it out a little more clearer. In chapter 8, everybody have chapter 8 there of Daniel?
Yes, I'm in chapter 8.
Okay.
My book. What verse?
We're gonna start at verse number 9. We'll start at verse number 9. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. And it waxed great, even to the host of heaven. And it cast down some of the hosts of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Okay, and he magnified himself even to the prince of the host. And by him the word sacrifice is added, so I'm going to leave that word out. That's not with the original text. Was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And an host was given him against the daily by reason of transgression. And it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. And so in these verses here, it makes mention that someone would magnify themselves, that number one, they would cast down the host and the stars to the ground and then stamp upon them. That's verse number 10. Then in verse number 11, he would magnify himself even to the prince of the host, the heavens, and he would take away the daily and place of his sanctuary would be cast down. So he's casting down the stars, he's casting down the host, and now we see he's casting down the sanctuary. And an host was given him against the daily by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Now, here it's making mention that this power, the same power we've been talking about, the Western power that's existing today, this power is, number one, has cast the truth to the ground. Now, most people think they're following truth and not, they don't study the Bible, so they don't know what truth is. But we've just been, and it said here that he would give a host in verse 12, and a host was given him against the daily by reason of what? Transgression. So he would have people following transgression as he cast the truth to the ground, because once you cast the truth to the ground, then the only thing you can practice is deception. And it says that under this deception, he would practice and prosper. And that's what the Western world is happening. That's what's actually happening. They're prospering, they're capitalism, they're making all this money, but at the same time, it's killing people, killing their health, destroying land, destroying the ozone. It's like, wow, what in the world? And people don't get it. Well, most of us don't know what's going on, so that's why we really don't know what's actually happening there. And then it mentions in verse 13, then I heard one saint speak, and another saint said unto the certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily and the transgression of desolation? Now, transgression of desolation means that there's a transgression that's being practiced by the planet or the people that turns into the destruction or the desolation. Desolation means destruction. So there's practices that we are practicing that are unsustainable, and all it leads is to destruction, which all transgression leads to, all deception leads to. To give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot. So once the transgression enters in, then the Creator can no longer put his hand over us and cover us. And that's where then they cast down the sanctuary and the host, and then they trod us underfoot. So we're being trodden underfoot because we don't know what Yahweh is telling us to do, what the Creator has created us to do, and we don't know his purpose and his plan, and we're following these other purposes and plans that the Western world has set up, and it's bringing destruction. Now, we can see that it's bringing destruction because we can see the hurricanes and everything. Everything is just getting out of hand now. And it's the earth is trying to, you know, let us know that, hey, we're doing some things that are not right. Okay? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Now, we'll talk about that a little more, but we wanted to try to concentrate on what's going on around us, how this is practiced, how this deception is being practiced, and it's prospering. And so how we need to try to understand the truth so that we might be able to, you know, see what's going on and we don't get caught up in it. Because once we get caught up in it, then we're going to miss the whole point. Has anybody got any questions so far before we move to another verse?
No, I understand what you're saying.
Okay, Barbara and Eleanor?
Yes, I'm following. I understand.
Okay, that's Barbara?
Yes.
Okay, Eleanor? Nope, Eleanor's been getting cut off earlier, so that might be why. Okay, we didn't hear from her. Okay, let's move down to verse number 21 now. And it's going to talk a little more about what's going on. Okay, verse 21, and the rough goat is the king of Grecia. So, do y'all remember who Greece was?
No, don't. Greece. What do you mean? Who were they? What do you mean?
Well, Greece was
Greece?
The major powers were that you had the Egyptians. And then you had the Babylonians, and then you had Media Persia rule, then you had Greece rule, and then you had Rome rule. So that was usually the pecking order of the different powers. And so since the Rome still exists under the Roman Catholic Church and under Catholicism and Christianity, that's what has been trying to conquer the world, Christianity, the Roman powers. And so prior to that was the Greek Empire. And under the Greek Empire, that's where you had Alexander the Great. Now, many people just know that Alexander the Great tried to conquer the world, and that's all. They don't know all the other sides of Alexander the Great and his allies or his people that came up after him. And basically what they did was that Alexander would go to Babylon, go to Egypt, go to different parts of the world, and conquer them, and then translate all of their writings into Greek. And then they would usually burn the writings and then rewrite history. So the history that we're getting in the schools today is not quite accurate. It's rewritten history. And so many people don't know that, but that's where the first time what they all of this came into existence. And so here the Bible is going to tell us how did the Greeks actually change stuff and what was their purpose. So that's why I wanted us to see that. So this is the starting again at verse 21. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. That's Alexander the Great. Now, that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. And in the latter times of their kingdom, where the transgression are come to the full. Okay, so now we see that the Bible is talking about in the last days and the days that we're living in, that transgression is going to come to its peak or its full. It's going to fully develop and fully blossom.
Yes, right.
Is that Eleanor?
Catherine.
Say it again.
Catherine.
Okay, good. Okay, we are in the book of Daniel, and we're reading verse number 23. So in case you want to get, if you can follow, or you get your Bible and
chapter
follow.
Chapter 8.
You follow
Daniel
along.
Daniel 23.
Daniel chapter 8.
Chapter 8 there, yeah. Chapter 8, 20.
Daniel chapter 8, 23?
Yes, verse 23, that's where we're at.
Thank you.
Okay. And in the latter time of their kingdom, is the Grecian or the empire, the Western world, because Greece, they are credited for being bringing in the Western world civilization. Okay, so under their power, and we're part of the Western world, America and Europe. That's part of the Western world. And in the latter times of their kingdom, where the transgressors are come to the full, or their peak, or they have reached their maximum climax, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. Okay, so we're seeing that somebody's going to stand up who understands darkness or wickedness or whatever is going on. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and holy people. And through his policy, also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hands. Now, this here is talking about the times that we're living in, that the time would come where this person who has dark sentences or dark mysteries, that he would deceive the people. And how he would deceive the people, and his power would be mighty, as verse 24 says, he would be mighty, but it won't be his own power. He will be using witchcraft. He will be using sorcery, all type of things on the people. And he shall destroy wonderfully. It's going to be like a wonder. It's going to be like a mystery, like almost a miracle of how he pulls this thing off. Now, the reason why that's a very interesting word, because there was such thing as, everybody heard of propaganda? Propaganda.
Yeah, right, you mean just the word, like the definition of it, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, I have.
Okay. Propaganda is a tool that they use to brainwash people, so that you can believe something, and the whole purpose of propaganda is to tell you something to get you to act and to motivate you. So it can motivate you to do good things, or it can motivate you to do bad things. It could motivate you to be excited about something, or it can make you motivated to be depressed. And a lot of people are getting depressed. Okay, so propaganda, the first propaganda machine that we know of was with Lucifer, when he told Eve that if she eats of the tree, she will, you know, gain knowledge and wisdom. And she ate of the tree to find out that she didn't gain knowledge and wisdom, she fell. And that she would be like God. That's how Lucifer had put it. And so it gets people to act on things, and then they don't even know why they're acting sometimes. But that's what propaganda is all about. And so during the time of World War II, they said that both sides used propaganda on the people in World War II, the Americans and the Germans. Everybody was using propaganda to get people to go to the war and to support the war and to be part of it. And they said for the first time they was able to use media, television, movies, for the first time to propagate propaganda across a whole area at one time. So before, the only way that you could convince somebody is by talking to them individually. Now you can speak to masses across the whole world by just being on TV. And they called this was a wonderful invention to propagate propaganda. That's what it was created for. Now there's such thing called subliminal subduction. And what it does is that it'll put thoughts into your mind and get you to act on them and get you to believe them and build your life around this, whatever they implanted into your mind to believe. And so here, that's what the Bible is telling us, that there will be this king that will come up with fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences, and he would, you know, deceive the people, destroy the people wonderfully, that the people wouldn't even know. They would just start believing a lie that they don't even understand. And it says, I'll continue on in verse number 24, so I look at destroy wonderfully is by using TV and media to, as they did in World War II, to get people to believe something that's not true. And they shall prosper and practice. And that's what's happening. There's a lot of prosperity and practice that's going on with what's going on in the world today, which we see, and shall destroy the mighty and holy people. And that's how we would be tricked. We as a people would be tricked and fall into something because of the propagation of the propaganda that the machines have been setting up, of how through the media, how through education, how through, and so we've been miseducated. We don't understand what true education is. Most people are taught to repeat after them, memorize. But true education is to get you to think and analyze and make smart decisions. It's not for you to just follow the leader. It's not for you to just follow the crowd. Because the Bible tells us that the broad way leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But straight is the way and narrow is the way that leadeth unto eternal life, and few there be that find it. And so it says that it would trick the holy people and destroy them, the mighty and holy people. Now, most people think that you can't trick Yahweh's, you know, the Creator's people. And you can't trick the holy people. But the Bible says it crystal clear here. Yes, you can trick them. And matter of fact, they will be tricked in the last days. And so the question is, wow, this is not good. It isn't. And then in verse 25, and through his policy, also he shall cause craft to prosper. And when we call craft, we're talking about what the Bible calls sorcery or witchcraft. And the sorcery that we talk about, that the Bible talks about in Revelation 18, I think it's verse 23, it talks about pharmakia. That's the word for sorcery, pharmakia, which is pharmacy, which is our drug industry today. And many people wonder, why do you go always to the doctor and the doctor's always giving you another drug, another pill? Well, that's the practice. That's what, you know, that's how this system operates. And it's really amazing of how so many black kids are coming down with ADD and everybody wants them to take these drugs, you know, when they're young to mess up the rest of their life. And they said that some of these kids that are taking, when they get to 10 or 12, they commit suicide. So it's, you know, there's lots of issues. But the question is, what did the Creator lay out for us to heal us and to work with us? And he used his natural remedies. He used the herbs of the field, the Bible says. As a matter of fact, even in the book of Revelation, it says that when we get to heaven, that he says that the herbs that that we'll pick from the leaves of the tree of life will be for the healing of the nations. So the greens will always be for the healing of the nations. And the fruit is for cleaning us, cleansing us, the Bible teaches. And so he had laid out a diet for us, but we have gone off into the standard American diet, which some initialize as the SAD diet, and we get all these diseases, high blood pressure, diabetes, high cholesterol, all these diseases from it. And we're wondering why. But this is some of the practice. I think that they call this biochemical warfare. So we don't even know it, but there's so many chemicals that are in everything, in the air, in the waters, and the food and everything, that it's biochemical warfare that's being practiced on us. So the Bible talks about this is what would be happening in the days that we would be living and how deception would be practiced. Then it makes mention here, 25 again, and through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. And that's where the catch falls. He's using peace. It's not war. I'm not going to go over and conquer you. I'm going to, you know, let my let these companies come over to your land and destroy your land by polluting it with coal and steel mills and all these other different things as he, and it goes in his peace. And so you just subtly accept all of these different things and accept the lifestyle until finally, you know, it's too late before you realize that, wow, that there's something wrong with what's going on. And the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. Wherefore, shut up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Afterwards, I arose up and did the king's business. And I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. So we see that this prophecy of this particular one was really disturbing to Daniel, such that he could not really grasp it and get it and pull it all together. He just was out of it. And when we really understand what's going on here, it becomes shocking to us of how the society and where we are, of how all of that is just coming to a head. And now we have to figure out how we're going to pull this together. And so we were looking at any questions. Or could we just finish chapter 8? I know you should have some questions because we've covered a lot of things. We talked about a lot of different things that the Bible is telling us as it relates to last day events of where we are in history.
I mean, most of these stories, I mean, you kind of raised me on, so I mean, I've heard them a couple of times. So, I mean, it's always good to recap on them and stuff, but, I mean, you know, and just relate them to more modern day events. But I mean, most of the stuff we've been discussing most of my life, so yeah, I don't really have any questions.
Yeah, this was a new application. I just was seeing some of this week. This week was the first time I'm seeing it from this perspective of what's actually happening around us in a magnified way. Okay, if the ladies don't have anything, we can go to chapter 9 for a minute.
Okay.
Now, in chapter 9, it's now giving some background. Remember we read something about the transgression of desolation?
Yes.
Transgression of desolation means that there is a transgression that's practiced that brings desolation on the people. Now, the question is, what is that transgression or iniquity, sin, or whatever we want to call it, or the practice of rejecting truth? Because that's basically what it is. It's the rejection of truth. And the Bible lets us know that in the last days, in Thessalonians, that in Hosea it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And we're not the people of Yahweh don't really are not always reading and studying as we should, so that we can understand what's going on. Also in Thessalonians, it makes mention that that he will send them a strong delusion that they may believe a lie, that they may be damned, because we love not the truth, that we might be saved. Now most people don't know that. The loving the truth is what's going to keep us from falling into these other ditches. Are y'all familiar with that scripture?
Yes.
That's one out of three people.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry, which scripture was that one?
Say that again?
Which scripture was that one?
That's in Thessalonians.
No, I don't think I was familiar with that one.
Okay, well, let's look at it because it's a very important one. It's Also, it's in my book, in my Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. Make sure everybody get that one. And we can have somebody read that for me instead of me reading, doing all the reading. That would be good.
First Thessalonians 2, chapter 7.
No, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting at verse number 8 through 12.
Did you want me to read, or?
Yes. Someone read it for us, please. We would appreciate that.
Okay. It says, with the breath of the Lord Jesus, with the breath of his mouth, annihilating him by the manifestation of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is apparent in the working of Satan, who uses all power, signs, lying, wonders, and every kind of wicked deception for those who are perishing, because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion, leading them to believe what is false, so that all who have not believed the truth, but took pleasure in unrighteousness, will be condemned.
Okay. And that's a powerful four verses there. It's letting us know that that last deception that's going to come through Satan, through all of his signs and lying wonders. And so the question is asked, what are the lies that are being practiced that we don't know of? Because if you knew of them, then they wouldn't be lies to you, because you would know. And in verse 10, in the King James Version, the way it's put, and with all deceivableness, and that's what we were talking about earlier, propaganda, all deceivableness, deception, of unrighteousness in them that perish. And what is the reason why do they perish?
Because they refuse to love the truth, they would rather believe the lie.
Right. So now, this is the catch. Because the reason is because they receive not the love of the truth. Now, some people say, I like truth, but I don't love it enough to do it.
Mm.
So you can like it, you can know it. If you don't love it, it's not going to change your life. And that's what he says. He says, because they receive not the love of the truth. And what is the love of the truth going to do? It's going to put something in your heart so that the Holy Spirit can work with it. And as the Holy Spirit works with this love that he put in your heart, then you are corresponding to his spirit as he leads you. Then you're two in harmony, such that the Bible says he will guide us into all truth. But if we don't love the truth, because the Bible tells us that Yeshua is the truth, the Bible says that the word is the truth. If we don't love the word, and that's why he tells us to study to show yourself approved unto God, a right man, rightly dividing the word of truth. So that when this deception that we are talking about in these last days that are happening all around us, that if we love the truth, then his heart, then the spirit can pull us in that direction. But if we don't love the truth, we just like the truth, and we don't try to implement it into our lives, into our daily life, then at that point we are setting ourselves up to not be saved. And then now notice the way it says, they receive not the love of the truth that they might be what?
Saved.
So the love of the truth is what's going to save you, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, that he can draw you with that. But if you don't love the truth, then he tells us, and for this cause Elohim shall send them a strong delusion. And that's what we were reading here in Daniel. That's what we're reading in chapter 7. That's what we're reading in chapter 8. This guy who has understanding and dark sentences and practicing propaganda, practicing sorcery, practicing pharmakia, all of these different things, biochemical warfare, psychological warfare, all of these different things that are going on all around us. And he makes mention that he says that they will receive a strong delusion, and for this cause God will send them a strong delusion that they might believe a lie. And so you don't have a choice. If you don't love the truth, if you just like the truth, you will not, you're going to be deceived. It's just that clear. Even though you might believe, you're saved. But if you don't have the love of the truth, it tells you right here, you can't be saved. That's impossible. That they might be saved, and for this cause God will send them a strong delusion that they might believe a lie, that they might all be damned who believe what? Who believe and not love the truth. So that's a very powerful text. Now, how does that translate into what's happening today and what's happening around us? Well, it translates into that through a few ways. One way is that deception is practiced so much that we don't know what is truth versus what is error. Is that right? Something we might think is truth, we might find out to be error. But if we study, as we're supposed to study, study to show yourself approved, then we can make those decisions. And that's what is called true education versus miseducation. Miseducation just has you follow what everybody tells you, but you never search it out for yourself. That's miseducation. That means you, Simon says, follow the leader. That's the broad way that leads to destruction, according to the Bible. Then you have the straight and narrow way, which is the part which is dealing with the love of truth. And it says, makes it crystal clear that because we don't love the truth, then we can't move to that next phase. So what has been happening with the people of God, the people of Yahweh? In chapter 9, we're going to read a little bit about it because he's going to tell us what's going to happen or what has been happening. Okay? In the first year of Darius, the son of Artaxerxes, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of Elohim, or Yahweh, came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Okay, so far, we see Daniel, he's praying, he's doing some stuff, and then all of a sudden he gets an understanding from reading the book of Jeremiah that, hey, 70 years, Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. For 70 years, it's going to remain desolate. Remember that scripture we talked about earlier in the last two chapters when it talks about the transgression of desolation? This is what Jeremiah and this is what Daniel saw, that the people of the holy people, as it was put, that they were doing transgression, and this transgression led to the destruction and desolation of Jerusalem for how many years?
70.
70 years. Okay, that's almost two generations, at least one person's life's entire life. And I set my face unto Yahweh to seek by prayer and supplication and fasting and sackcloth and ashes. So when he saw and read that, he obviously cried and it was in tears, and he started fasting and praying. That's what supplication means. And weeping and fasting and praying. And he was like, wow, this is not good. This is happening to his people. It's not happening to the world. This happened to his people who was given all the light. So there's no difference between us and the church today. We're given light, we're not studying, we don't understand what's going on, and we're doing practices and different things that are destroying us. And that's the transgression of desolation that brings desolation to us. Now, to our community, how is our communities growing? Is our communities getting better?
No.
Is our communities practicing more and more and more and more and more transgression?
Yes.
Is our communities have become desolate?
Yes.
So we need to find out what is causing this desolation. What are these things that are going on that, you know, what is this? Because until we define it and see it and change it, is going to continue. And this is where Daniel was. And Daniel was crying about it. Notice verse 4. And I prayed unto Yahweh Elohim and made my confession and said, O Yahweh, the great and dreadful Elohim, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him. There you go again with that love. Love the truth, now love him. How do we know if we love Yahweh or not?
We keep his commandments.
Well, that's what he says. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Good, good point. Okay? So as we, okay, keep reading on, and to them that keep his commandments. Ah, let's read that one again, that last part. Keeping, okay, and I prayed unto Yahweh Elohim and made my confession and said, O Yahweh, the great and dreadful Elohim, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. Now, he's saying here that there's three things going on here. One is those that keep his covenant. No, okay, let me rephrase that. O Yahweh, the great and dreadful Elohim, keeping the covenant. So Yahweh has made a covenant with us that if we follow him and we obey him, that he will bless us, right? There's another side to that covenant, that if we reject him and if we stop following him, that he will bring the judgments upon us. Did y'all know about that one?
Yes.
It's a two-sided sword. You just don't get the good and then not the evil. There's two sides to this thing. Okay? So it says that he keeps the covenant and mercy. So he has mercy and he has a covenant to keep with us, and he keeps it to them that love him and them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity. Remember, it's the transgression that brings desolation. So this is what Daniel is talking about. We have sinned and committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgment. So now Daniel is being very specific. He's saying we have committed iniquity, sinned, and we are doing wickedly. And that's what we're doing in our communities. Yeah. And we have rebelled. Yes, we are rebellious. And we have departed from everything that Yahweh has said according to what's written in the book. That's what he's saying. And from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto the servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name, unto our kings, and to our princes, and to our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Yahweh, righteousness belong to thee, but to us, confusion of face, as at this day. And that's where we are. We are confused. As a people, we are confused of what are we supposed to be doing. And we're just lost, trying to figure out our way. To the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off. So those that are in Jerusalem and thus of us who's over here in America and anywhere else in the world. Oh, to our fathers, okay, belong this confusion of faith, as far off through all the countries where thou hast driven them. And why has he driven us away from wherever we were? What does it say? Because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. That's the reason why we're in this mess. Now, some of us don't have no clue of what is the trespasses because we're not studying the Bible. And we wonder sometimes, why do we have high blood pressure? Why do we have diabetes? Why do we have high cholesterol? Why do we have, you know, all of these different, you know, issues? When you're supposed to be blessing us, but we are violating other laws that's bringing us these diseases. That's where our problem is. But we don't know that because people aren't teaching us that. Okay, so he's saying that, hey, we have lots of issues, lots of problems. And transgression in particular was one of them. O Yahweh, to us belongeth confusion of face, and to our kings, and to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. Saying, you see what Daniel is going through here? He says, we're all confused. Our kings, our princes, our priests, our teachers, all of these people are confused. And when you understand Miseducation, the book by Carter G. Woodson, The Miseducation Negro, he breaks it out that it's very clear that we are in a mental state of miseducation and confusion. We don't know what truth is. But this is what he wants to put in our hearts to give us what truth is. He wants to bring us to that place. Okay? And to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. O Yahweh, our Elohim, belongeth mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against thee. So when he forgives us and has mercy on us, he's saying, even though we have transgressed against thee, neither have we obeyed the voice of Yahweh, our Elohim, to walk in his laws, which he has set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yea, all Israel has transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey the voice. Therefore, the curses are poured upon us. See, that's what's happening to us. The curses of the Bible is being poured upon our community. And that's where the transgression that brings desolation. Not just that, and the Bible says that the whole world wandered after the beast. This beast system that we were talking about earlier, of how it's deceiving people, that beast power has entered into our community and entered into our minds and is conquering the whole world. And it's bringing the whole world to desolation. And that's what we call unsustainable living. And we're just destroying ourselves, our people, such that there won't be many more generations left to be able to live on the earth. And so he's making mention here, because remember, the beast that we read about before, it tramples down the whole earth and destroys the entire planet. And as we become part of the beast system, as we are, the Bible, it talks about in Revelation 18, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and I rewarded thee double of what they rewarded thee. So that's what he's talking about. So here we have Daniel crying out and saying, hey, we have really messed up. And now, because we've messed up, the sins or the curses that are written in the Bible are upon us. Now, most people don't know that the curses that the Bible talks about, that if we rebelled against him, that we would receive the curses of the Egyptians, and which was high blood pressure, diabetes, high cholesterol, all the diseases we got today, cancer, strokes, arthritis, all of those things are listed in the Bible. Most people have no clue about it.
AIDS.
Go ahead. What's your question?
No, I was saying also AIDS.
Yes, AIDS also, homosexuality, yes. So all of these things are here that he has, you know, to help us awaken to realize that, hey, something is wrong. What is it? What can I do that I might be able to try to understand what, to follow what you have? So in verse 11, yea, all Israel have transgressed the law, even by departing, that they might not obey the voice. Therefore, and because we're not obeying the voice, he says, therefore, this is the conclusion. The curses is poured upon us. And the oath that is written in the law of Moses by the servant of Elohim, because we have sinned against thee. Remember, we read at the beginning that he keeps covenant with us, and part of the covenant is if we obey, we get blessed. If we disobey, then we will get cursed. That's part of the covenant. That's part of the promises or the curses. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us. Yea. Now, once we realize this, what do you think we should do?
I think we should do as Daniel did, and that's pray, ask God to forgive us, and to, confess our sins before him.
Study
okay.
Word 2, because Daniel in the process of him doing all of that, he did go went back to the book of Jeremiah, and it's when he studied that book he realized, you know, where they have fallen short. And with, when we study God's word, we realize too where we are falling short, and that's what we're supposed to do, as you just said.
Mm-hmm.
There's one thing you guys left out. Can the other people pick it up?
Love God's word. Love truth.
Yes, love truth. Good, that's one. There's one more. It's in verse number 3.
Fast.
Yes. That's one thing we refuse to do.
Mm-hmm.
A real fast, not
well,
to make up fast.
It was included when I said that do what Daniel did. He studied first, and then he went through that process of praying and fast.
Okay.
I didn't say it out, but when I said what he did, study
mm-hmm.
the word, it does include it. But, yes, maybe we should have say it out. It's very important for us to fast.
Well, remember, when Daniel...
Fasting is important.
When they came across the vision in chapter 2,
mm-hmm.
2 of Daniel, and a wise man couldn't interpret the king's dream, the king said he'd go pull all the wise men to death. That's Daniel and everybody. What happened?
They did the same thing, Daniel and his brother. They went, they prayed. I think they went into fasting.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah, they did. I think most of, there's so much example there that tells us how much fasting is important and not just praying. Afflicting the soul, going out to God and crying out to him. We need to do that more because that's the only way we're going to get the spiritual food. That's the only way we're going to be filled, you know, when we fast and pray sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, how many days did they fast and pray?
I think it was 3.
We don't know, but they did there. When they came and the king tried to give them food, what food did they want?
Vegetables.
Yeah, and fruit. They didn't want the king's food.
That's right. And that's called the delicacies of
mm-hmm.
Babylon. Now, most of you, do you know what the delicacies of Babylon and the delicacies of today are?
Flesh. Meat.
Very specific type of flesh.
I think pork was one of the delicacy of the pagan system. Even
wait. We're talking about whatever it was then, it is today.
Oh, yeah. That's why I said flesh. I thought it specifically meant that.
Yes, very particular type of flesh. What flesh are we talking about? The Bible specifically lists it. And it tells you don't touch it.
That's what I said, pork.
Well, that's one. There's a whole list. And
yeah.
Everything on that list is exactly what the American standard diet wants you and the delicacies of the slave master, the delicacies
Officer.
Of the king. The same test that Daniel was given, we are given today. And how many of us are passing or failing that test? He was given the same delicacies. What are the unclean animals? That's what all the delicacies are. Anything Yahweh says, just like we just read here, we are transgressed. If Yahweh said don't do it, then the world says what? Do it. Remember we read that this guy had dark sentences? He would put into your mind and project into your mind all the things that Yahweh has said is unclean that you should not touch and eat, that they say, hey, this is the best thing under the sun, and I can't live without it. Then what does that tell you in your mind? Do you love truth, or do you love something that the Bible is saying don't have nothing to do with? It will kill you mentally, physically, and spiritually.
So we came back where we fall under the power of the beast because we are We're the whole earth wander after him because we're leaving the things of the Bible. We're putting it aside, and we are going where the majority goes.
But most of us are ignorant of it because we didn't study and we didn't understand what he was saying.
I have a question.
Yes.
This is Barbara. I understand what thought that I understood that, and I was thinking that there was an occasion in the New Testament where the Jews were actually talking about the Gentiles and their eating habits because they had not come from the law. And I thought, and I need to find it, that I read that that if they bless it, it is blessed. And that's where I thought that we started eating those things that before we had not partaken of, or that was seen as things that were forbidden for us to eat from the Bible.
Good point. Good point. Then the question has to be asked is, okay, if we can still eat them and stay well, why do the doctors tell us you have to give up all the unclean animals that the Bible has told you once you get to a certain age because it's killing you?
Mm-hmm.
You see my question?
Yeah, yes, sir, I do.
Okay. So it's a misinterpretation of those scriptures that get us to eat something that's killing us.
Okay.
Because, if he got rid of it, then it shouldn't be killing us, right?
Right.
But if it's killing us, that means what? It didn't change. What he told us before, and because the doctor winds up telling us the same thing that's already in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And we wonder, he don't read the Bible. Well, it's only common sense. If you eat something, so guess what they are? They're the shrimp, right?
Yeah, shellfish.
Crab, the catfish, all the items that Lobster House have. All the stuff that they show you on lakes, it looks so sweet. And you can see pork and ribs everywhere. It's like, come on, folk, what are you doing to us? But this is the beast power, and they are turning us from what? Just what we're reading here, just like in what we're reading here. So
mm-hmm.
That's the reason why I asked you, what did Daniel and them give up?
Right.
Daniel was given the wine. Daniel was given the pig. Daniel was given everything that we're given. And Daniel said, no, I'm not going to defile myself. No way. It's him and the three Hebrew companions. And the guy said, no, man, I don't know if I can do that. I mean, you guys might look real bad, you know, because you know that's what they tell you. If you don't eat meat, you're going to kick over and die, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing. And this guy said, hey, man, you guys might kick over and die. The king will have me responsible for that. And what did Daniel and them say?
I forgot. Let's see.
Test your servants for 10 days. We don't want a whole lot. We just want 10 days.
Mm-hmm. But I remember that he ended up looking so healthy and beautiful as if he had eaten all the other stuff.
No, because the other people who ate the other stuff looked bad.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked just like they were communicating with the Creator. Yes.
Okay.
And so that's why I do a 10-day oxygen therapy cleanse, so that you can get the same results Daniel got.
Okay.
And when you go up on the website, you'll be able to see that. You'll hear people talking about, they got rid of this, they got rid of that, this changed, acid reflux different. I mean, a whole bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all only in 10 days.
Mm.
And that's what we're doing, the same thing Daniel did. Matter of fact, the Bible says that they went on that diet for the next 3 years after that, and when the king interviewed them, they were 10 times smarter than everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So this has to do with your mental, your physical, and your spiritual connection.
Mm.
And so we're wondering why that's why our community is so bad. Look at what they're eating.
Okay.
Look at what they're thinking. Look at what they're surrounded by. And so these are some of the things that I wanted to make mention here because it comes down right into this area where we were. Now, this is Barbara, right?
I'm sorry.
Is that Barbara who
was
asking that question?
Yes, I was. I'm sorry.
Okay, good. I'm just trying to make sure. I got many people on the line, so I want to make sure who's who.
Okay.
No, no problem. Okay. Okay. So now, okay, all of Israel. Okay, what verse did we stop at? Anybody remember?
I think it was verse 4 where he prayed and he fasted.
No. We stopped
without
at 11.
Past that.
Yeah, we're in the teens.
Okay.
I think it was 11.
Hey, verse 12. And he had confirmed his word, which he had spake unto us against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heavens have not been done as it has been done unto Jerusalem. And now, let me ask you a question. Has anything been done, the judgments on the African Americans in America, has anything like that been done before? Think about this. That's what I'm saying. This is the parallel. This is the very direct parallel. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us, yet made we what? Not our prayer before Yahweh Elohim, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Three things happen here. When we see all the curses resting upon us, the first thing we're supposed to do is that we're supposed to, he said that they did not pray. They did not turn from their iniquity, and neither did they want to understand the truth. So if you don't pray, if you don't turn from your iniquity, how could you ever understand to love the truth? So you can't love the truth because you don't understand the truth. And he said that's what happened, that we did not understand the truth. And we already read that because we have a love of the truth, we shall be saved. And then it says, therefore have Yahweh Elohim watched upon the evil and brought it upon us, for Yahweh Elohim, Elohim is righteous in all his work which he does. For we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Yahweh Elohim, that have brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and have gotten thee renown as it is this day, we have sinned and done wickedly. Now, this is where the hardest part comes, because after all of that, he says, we never confessed and said, we have sinned and done wickedly. That's what's the problem in our community. We think we haven't done wickedly. We think our kids did. We think everybody else did. But we, as a church, we have not done wickedly. And now, who is he talking to? Is he talking to the church, or is he talking to the world here?
I think it's the church. Because
it has to be the church. You know, he's not writing to the world, is he?
Yeah, no, it's the church.
He's writing to his people.
Uh-huh.
So he's telling us that we have to come to that place. O Yahweh, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thy anger and fierce fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, and thy holy mountain, because of what? Our sins.
This
is the transgression that brings what? Desolation. He just said that the whole place is desolate. We can't copy. And he says it's all happening because what? Because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and thy people have become a reproach to all that is about us. Now, do you know anybody, any group of people that's a reproach to the whole world? Us. Everybody laughs at us. Everybody looks at us. You guys can't get your act together. This has a perfect parallel with us today in America. He's talking to us. He's telling us. Like they were in Babylon, so we are in Babylon today. Did y'all know that?
Yeah.
America's Babylon. We're in the heart of the belly of the beast. In Babylon and not realizing of what's going on. We're eating Babylonian food, just like Daniel. We're doing all the different things. We have the options to be like a Daniel, or we have options to be like the rest of the church. And we have to decide that. If we see all of this going on, we should be very fearful of what's going on and how, what can we do to save us and our people? How can our eyes be awakened? Oh my Elohim, incline thy ear. No, 17. And now therefore, okay, we're reproaching verse 16 to all. Have you ever thought about that? That we're the only people that don't know where we came from, don't know where we're going, and everybody seems to move up in America but us. Have y'all ever thought about that? And that's what he says. We have become a reproach to everybody on the planet. How many people want us in their country? These are sobering thoughts. I mean, this is a heavy study today. But it's sobering because this is the situation that we find ourselves in, and we need to awake before it's too late. Okay, verse 17. Now, therefore, O our Elohim, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplication, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary. That is what?
Desolate.
Desolate. Because?
For the Lord's sake.
Because of our transgression. The transgression that brings what? Desolation. The transgression of desolation. That's what we've been reading in chapter 7 and chapter 8. Those are the phraseology. And now in chapter 9, he's explaining to you how transgression brings desolation, and how the transgression that we have as a community is bringing desolation to us, and why we can never go anywhere. This is what the Bible is trying to tell us. He's making this good parallel for us. Okay, desolate, the sanctuary desolate for thy sake. O my Elohim, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolations. He's saying, look at us. And that's what we should be crying out. Yahweh, look at us. Look at our people. Look at our community. Look at us. And the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy mercy's sake. O Yahweh, hear. O Yahweh, forgive. O Yahweh, hearken and do. Defer not. Don't delay, for thy own sake, my Elohim. For thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Okay, so I'm not going to go into chapter 20. I'm not going to go into the next, verses 20. We can do that next week or something. Because it talks about how what was going on and how we have a time frame, so that we can change. Just like they had 70 weeks in there, 70 years of desolation, we've had this desolation, and now we have to decide, what do we want to do? How serious will we be? How far will we go? Will we love the truth? Will we even understand the truth? Do we want to understand the truth? And when the truth comes, will we say it's good, or will we say, no, I don't think I want to do that? So these are all individual decisions. But the fasting and prayer helps a whole lot. Right now, I'm fasting, and it's a good time. This is a good time. This is the time of what they call the feast, the blowing of trumpets, the Feast of Tabernacles will be coming up soon, Day of Atonement will be coming up next Saturday. At this time will be the Day of Atonement. Does anybody know what happens on the Day of Atonement?
The confession is the time of the confession of sins, when we seek forgiveness of sins. I mean, we do it every day, but the Day of Atonement is confession of sins.
Okay. In the Bible, it talks about every year that your sins would be taken away from the sanctuary, taken away from the congregation, all the sins. And that would happen on the Day of Atonement. And everybody would have to fast on that day. That was called the end of probation for that time frame, for that year. And so every day when you sinned, you would offer up a lamb, and that's how you would put your hands over the lamb and confess your sins, and the sins would be transferred from you to the lamb, and then you would offer up the sacrifice, the lamb. You would kill it, because your sin is killing the lamb. So you would kill a lamb, and the priest would take the blood, and they would sprinkle it in the sanctuary so that your sins would be transferred from you to the animal once you confessed it over the lamb, from the lamb to the priest, and then to the blood, and then the blood from the priest would be thrown in the sanctuary. So every year, your sins would build up over the year, and then at the end of the year, at a specific time, this time of the year, that then people would get together and fast and pray and ask for help and guidance, and so that they can begin a new year, start this over again. And it's similar to the same thing we do, that the Messiah is our lamb, and we confess our sins to the lamb, right? Our sins are transferred from us to who? To the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, which is the Messiah. And so he takes our sins from us, and the Bible talks about that he's our high priest in heaven. That's in the book of Hebrews. Okay? So he does the same thing, but now it's not we got to offer up lambs because he was the final lamb, so we don't have to do that, but we still have to confess our sins so he can take them from us. So there will be a time that will come on the planet where the transgressions will come to an end, because the Bible says my spirit shall not always strive with man. So there will come a time that there will be a probation that will end for the whole planet. And so this is something to keep us as a reminder and letting us remember of what's going on. So when that time comes, my understanding is it will happen on the Day of Atonement. Now, I didn't say this Day of Atonement. No, I don't believe that. It's just going to happen because he has his own calendar. He laid out these events. And so he wants us to keep these things in mind so that we can pray and, try to understand the truth and understand what Yahweh is trying to teach us so that we can grow in grace and the knowledge of his word.
In reality, it is the Day of Atonement because if sin is going to put to its final end, then it is the Day of Atonement when the God's people shall be finally and totally cleansed and be able to live with him. So it's not a special day today or tomorrow, but in reality it is.
Yeah, it will occur.
Yeah.
When probation will be over for people totally. And that's when he leaves, the Bible talks about he leaves as our high priest. That's in Revelation chapter 15. One day we can probably get into that. And it talks about then the plagues can fall on a planet. Last.
Who is righteous will be righteous. Who is holy, stay holy.
That's
the decision time where God's people will be put through that final test of who you're standing up, which side you're on.
Yes, so we just pray that we can, during the week, and we can pray and try to figure out what Yahweh would like for us to understand and do in these times of major events. Is there any questions, anything at this time before we close? Well, we pray that go ahead. Was someone got to say something?
Oh, no, I just took myself off mute.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we pray that Yahweh, we have a closing word of prayer. Oh, gracious Father, we thank thee for your mercy and opportunity to pray and to study and to understand what's going on in us and in our community. We ask that you will give us wisdom and guidance as we go through this week and prepare us for the events that are transpiring all around us. Help us, guide us, strengthen us, and help us to be lights in this dark world so that we might be able to be lights and encouragement to others. So as we move and breathe, that we might be blessings and not curses to one another. We just ask for your Holy Spirit lead and guide us through this week until we can meet next week. We pray that we will be able to come back and others bring with them so that we might all be able to study and grow. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.